And you know what? Every day we are entering a new time of our life. Many times we only look at the large milestones and the large transitions, but really we need to prepare ourselves every day for a new adventure. Every day itself is a small season of life. And I think many times we go into life not prepared. And it's because we go into life not prepared that life beats us up. And we end up responding to life in ways that only hurt ourselves. Many times the things that happen cause scars. They are painful. They hurt. But it's not the hurts and the pain that is the problem. It's really how we respond to them. We let bitterness take root. We let unforgiveness find its way in our heart. Many times, sometimes we let cynicism come in and we just become hard. Many times we become distant because we've been hurt so much that we don't want to be hurt again. And because of that, we don't enjoy the fullness of life, because unfortunately, to really experience the joy of life, it comes with disappointment and hurt. It comes with things that go different directions than what we would like. But God wants us to respond to the things of life in a way that we grow out of them, that they make us better rather than bitter, that we begin to learn to move past the hurts of life and begin to find the treasures of life, that fire of pain becomes the refining fire that brings gold and silver, that begins to make us into people who not only are able to shine through this world, but we are able to give out to others, that we become people who are a comfort to other people, even though we may be going through trials and experiences that we would not prefer to go through. But it all comes with how we prepare ourselves. And we've been looking at this. We need to prepare ourselves for those things in life. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and as it starts this, he talks about all the blessings and the promises that we have in God. That because God has sent his Son and died for us, there is now laid up for us such a great inheritance. There is a life waiting for us that God has planned, that he knows in his heart, that he has in his heart, that he has set for us a life that you would not imagine. But it says, in this you rejoice. We rejoice that God has done this, but it says, here's the part that we don't like, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. How many will agree with that? I thank God. God has saved me, and I believe that God has given me the hope of heaven, but I'd rather have it now. But for now, I have not received that. I still struggle. I still struggle with myself, my own feelings I struggle with. And they, many times, are the trials, let alone what this world throws at me. But it says, those trials came for a reason. It says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes even though it is tested by fire, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, yes, for now you're going to have to go through some trials. You're going to have to go through disappointments. Life is going to be a time of testing, but there's a reason, and that is because it is going to prove your faith. It is going to turn your faith into something that is even more precious, that when you do receive the promises of God, they are going to be sweeter than they ever were. And not only that, but because you go through these trials, it will be a glory to our God. And more than anything else, our life is meant to be a glory to God, not to ourselves. It is not about pleasing ourselves, but our life is meant to bring glory to God. Now, you might say, Well, man, so is God that selfish that it's just all about him, that everything we do is supposed to be about him? But here's the thing. This is why, yes, he wants that, because he knows that we were created to flourish when God gets the glory. And that's the thing that doesn't make sense, and it's hard for us to accept that because we get mad at God. No, God, why do I have to go through this? And how does, if that brings you glory, I don't want that. How does that help me? And yet God understands, he's saying, if you will just trust me, when you glorify God through the trials, through the heartaches, and if you respond in a way that honors God, I'm telling you, you were created that will bring life back into you. You benefit from God getting the glory. It is the way he made us, and it is the most glorifying thing that we can experience. There is life, there is joy, there is peace, there is fulfillment when God gets the glory. And so, yes, he wants God to get the glory, but it's not for him. It actually is for us, because he knows that when we live a life that brings glory to God, we get to join in that very glory. We get to be a part of that because we are the sons and daughters that he wants to bring in to that promise. So how do we do that? How do we make it through the trials of life so that we bring glory and honor when Jesus comes back? And this is where we look to our next scripture verse in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it gives us the outline. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, in other words, there are people that have already gone through this process. There are people that have walked through the trials, and they have made it through. And now it's our turn, and they're rooting us on. And so therefore, because they made it through, we need to respond. We have such a great cloud of witnesses that are rooting for us. So therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the three things that it says, if we will prepare ourselves, we can bring glory to God. We can make it through this life in a way that it doesn't destroy us, but instead of destroying us, we will stand on the head of the enemy and said, what you tried to hurt me with, thank God, I am victorious over it. I will be overcoming the hurt. The hurt will not destroy me, but I will destroy the hurt. We need to begin to take the attitude that the doubts and the anger and the worry that we deal with, I am not going to let that control me. I'm going to control it. We need to begin to be bold and confident and not give in to those responses of our heart. So what are the three things it said? It said, first of all, we need to cut aside those things that weigh on us and the sin that easily clings to us. The first thing we need to do to prepare for what's coming tomorrow, we need to decide that I'm going to let go of some things in my life. Maybe it's some attitudes. I got to let go of some bitterness. I got to let go of some unforgiveness. I got to let go of some biases, some prejudices, some anger. We've got to cut it free. There are certain things in our life we've got to purge. All they're doing is holding you back. Sometimes it is because we are trying to hold on to who we are, and yet all you're doing is destroying who you are. And your anger and your annoyance and your bitterness at that is not hurting the other person. I hate to tell you, they could care less. You're only hurting yourself. So we need to cut free of that. Maybe there's some desires that we're wanting for us, and those desires are leading us astray. All they're doing is weighs us down, because God doesn't want that for us. And I know that's hard for us to let go of, because we really want that. And yet God says, you've got to lay aside. You've got to be willing to sacrifice those things in your life that are holding you back. So that's the first thing. We have to purge. The second thing, it says, we need to run with endurance the race set before us. We need to learn to build endurance in our life. In other words, people, we need to learn to have thicker skin. We're going to have hurts. It says, don't be surprised when pains come in this life. Jesus said they're gonna happen. So instead of being so surprised and getting so angry and getting so upset when things don't go our way, we should say, yep, well, it was promised. Why am I so surprised? Why do I let things bother me? When people say some things and when people let us down and when they're going to, who did you think people are? People are all imperfect. They're not God. So instead of getting angry at them, have compassion. You hurt me bad, but I understand it's because you're broken. And I can understand that that comes out of your past, which, you know what, they're not the same as you. They didn't have the same mother as you, and so they're not raised the same, and so they're not going to respond the same. We need to stop being so critical and judgmental because you don't know what they went through. And so we need to begin to have endurance. It says, bear with one another. I don't want to bear with one another. They need to bear with me. Well, if we will run with endurance, if we will build endurance, I'm telling you, life gets sweeter. God is able to do some things in your life when you learn to endure. And I know that's where our stubbornness, I just don't want to. Well, maybe that's one thing we need to purge. Let's go back to step number one. Let go of our stubbornness. But we've got to endure. The other thing it says, run with endurance, but here's the thing, the race set before you. You got to learn to accept that God's plan may not be your plan. You got to run his race. That may not be the course that you wanted to run. I want to run the downhill course, and he gives us a mountain course. Come on, God. But we've got to run with endurance the race that God gives us because he knows us. And instead of getting angry, you have to understand that he knows what's absolutely best. Whatever situation you're in, God puts you there for the best reason that he knows for you. And sometimes that's hard for us to trust, but we've got to learn to endure. So that brings us to the third thing today. It says, let go of the things that easily weigh us down. It says, run with endurance, the race set before us. But here's the final and probably the most important thing. It says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you are going to be able to meet the challenges of life, if we are going to deal with the pain and the heartache of life, here's the one thing you got to prepare yourself for. And I'm talking about before it happens, not after. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. It is about finding our focus. What are we focusing on? Because what you focus on determines who you become. It determines whether we are destroyed. It determines the destiny of our life. It determines people, how people are affected by us. Because what you focus on doesn't just affect you, but it affects everyone around you. And when we focus on the hardships, when we focus on the pain, I'm gonna tell you, then all you're gonna do is be filled with pain. And all you're gonna give others is pain. It's because we are so focused on the disappointment, then we can't see anything in anyone else. If we are so focused on what we didn't get, we can never see the bountiful blessings that God has for us. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden where he said, you can eat of everything and I want you to go out and even make it better. And yet all they could see when the Satan came was the one tree that they couldn't have. And yet they got so focused on that that they gave up everything else. And we are the same way. Many times, and we might say, but you don't know what that one thing is. It's so hard. God is saying, yes, I do know what that is, but I have so much more for you. Just because you don't get that job, just because you don't get that wife or that husband, just because you don't get that experience, stop focusing on it. Trust me, I have something even better than that. In fact, the reason you don't get it is because I probably know that that was probably going to lead you down the wrong path anyway. That if you would have gotten it, it would have ruined you because it would have pulled you away from me. You see, God is a good God. He knows when he says no to us, there's a reason, and it is love. So we need to get our focus off of those things of life, and we need to prepare ourselves that we get our eyes on Jesus. So that when those things come, my eye is already on Jesus. It's kind of like if my eye's on Jesus and something keeps hitting me here, I can just brush it away because my eye's on Jesus. I'm not going to turn and move the other direction. So here's the great thing. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, real quick, we're going to look at this. Jesus becomes our example. You see, we look at Jesus because Jesus is our example. He did it first. He shows us how to walk. That's why Jesus came. He said, I know you're lost and I know you struggle. In fact, he knows that sin has broken us. David said it this way. He said, my heart, there's nothing good in my heart. When I try and follow my heart, people say, oh, just follow your heart. Oh, please do not follow your heart. Because I'm telling you, your heart will lead you down a selfish, self-absorbed road. Do not follow your heart. What you need to follow is your spirit. Let God begin to do it. He is our example. So he came to show us how to walk. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, for what credit is it if when you sin and you are beaten for it, you endure? You deserve that. But if when you do good and you suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. You see, Jesus knows what it's like to suffer for things that he didn't deserve or things that are not fair. This life is not fair. But let's follow the example of Jesus. He walked as an example to show us how we can walk this life. In Ephesians, he gives us this simple command. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave up himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow his example. When I keep my eyes on him, I don't just watch him, but I play follow the leader. You see, to play follow the leader, you got to keep your eyes on the leader. If you're going to do what the leader did, you've got to be watching him. I'm telling you, in our life, if we are going to live that life, it's not easy. If you've ever played Simon Says, and if you play a real competitive game, I can never lead it because I can't think fast enough to tell people what to do and do it. But I used to love playing that as a kid. We loved playing Simon Says. And if you get someone that can really do it, man, it's really hard. You don't want to mess up and you don't want to do something that he didn't say, but you always end up doing it. And he didn't say Simon Says. But if you're going to win, you keep your eyes on that person. You are focused. Jesus is our example, but we've got to keep focused on him as we live our life. That means we focus on him when we're at work, when we're at play, when we're at home. Are we thinking about what would Jesus do? I love that phrase. It's an old phrase, but it is a powerful phrase. What would Jesus do? He's our example. The question I have, you know why we get in trouble? You're following other examples. Maybe you're following other people. Well, look at what they have, and they're so happy. I just want what they have. They're not your example. You need to stop looking to other people. You need to stop looking to friends and wanting what friends have. Well, I want that. Well, maybe God has for it, but maybe God doesn't. I want what Jesus has. Get your eye. Whose example are you following? Is it those people you look up to in this world? Is it maybe the example of your own heart? Don't follow the example of your own heart. Let's follow the example of Jesus. Jesus is not only our example, but Jesus is our encouragement. This life is hard. But Jesus says, keep your eyes on me because I will encourage you. You see, he doesn't expect you to be a perfect follower of my example. He doesn't sit there and say, hey, I did this. Why didn't you do that? Come on, when I went to the cross, I said, Father, forgive them. Why don't you forgive them? You see, he understands, even though we're trying to follow his example, he understands that we are not him. And so he encourages us, knowing that this life is a process of growing. It's like a coach. He's going to keep drilling us, and he understands that we're going to mess up. We're going to fall, but we're going to get better every time. And so he encourages us. Jesus is our encourager. If we don't keep looking to Jesus, I'm telling you, you're going to lose courage. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to fall into despair. Because I'm telling you, this world is not out to encourage you. This world, it will pump you up. It will say nice things about you until it needs what it wants. And other people will always let us down to a certain point. And then that encouragement will not be there. Jesus never stops encouraging us. He will always continue to draw us to what he has. I love this encouragement we have in Hebrews chapter 4. It says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." Now listen to this. "For to our weakness, he understands that we don't follow his example all the time. He understands our weakness. He feels it. But we have one who in every respect has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin." So even though he didn't sin, he knows what it feels like and he knows why you do mess up. He understands. He doesn't condemn you. Jesus is not here to beat you down and say, "Oh, you're just a terrible follower." No, it says that he sympathizes. He understands because he's been there. He has felt it. He knows what you're going through. But look what it says. "But let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because of that, we need to look to Jesus. We need to draw close to him. Because we are failing, because I am weak, because, man, I keep falling into this, he says, then draw near. Then just get your eyes on Jesus even more so that he can encourage you, so that he can give you grace and mercy when you feel like I can't go on anymore. When you can't go on another day and I am tired, I am hurting, this is not worth it, then just lift your eyes to Jesus because he will weep with you. He won't just tell you how to fix it. Sometimes we don't want someone to tell me how to fix it. Jesus will just put his arms and say, "I understand, but we're going to make it." Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the great encourager. Romans chapter 8, I love this. "Who is to condemn you? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Who can condemn you when Jesus, who was crushed and killed, is at the right hand of God, and yet he prays for you? The word intercede means he puts himself in your place. Jesus right now is interceding for you. Can we look to the person who would give everything for us? Let's let his encouragement keep us going. Keep our eyes on Jesus because he is our encouragement. Do you need encouragement today? Then come to Jesus. Begin to lift your eyes off of the hurts. Take your focus off those things. Stop focusing on those things and just focus on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. The third thing is he is our example. He's our encouragement. But here's the great thing. He doesn't just encourage you. Jesus is our empowerment. Jesus will give you the strength to overcome. He doesn't just encourage saying, "You can do it, you can do it." You know what he does? He comes and he stands with you and he holds your arms. Have you ever, if you've ever had a little child who's just learning something, when we did baseball, when we're coaching, sometimes you hold their hands and you have them throw, and then you actually hit the ball with them. That's what Jesus says. "I'll come and I will be your power. Even though you can't do it, I'll do it through you." Jesus will empower you. Jesus will come in lovingly and help you have strength. This is what Jesus himself said, his own words. He said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, for in the world you will have tribulation." Will, not when, you will. "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "You don't have to overcome, I've overcome it. And I will give you the strength. You just let me be your strength." Jesus says, if you will keep your eyes on him, he will empower you. How many know I need empowerment? There's times where I know I can't do it, but God empower me. Holy Spirit, fill me. If you, but that only happens if you will put your eyes on Jesus and focus on him and let his power fill you. In Ephesians, this was the prayer of Paul. Earlier in 16:18, Paul says, I pray that you may know. And one of the things he prayed that they might know is what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. What is that saying? He's saying, I pray that you would realize that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you if you will let it. How many know that's some great power? The power to raise someone from the dead is the same power that Jesus will work in you if you will just keep your eyes on him. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You just keep your eyes on him. When you are hurt, keep your eyes on him and he will empower you. He will let that resurrection power be the power that you need. When you know that I don't know how I'm going to do this, how am I going to come into the room with that person without choking him or yelling at him? I'll tell you how you can do it. You put your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus has been there. Jesus will empower you. Jesus will fill you. And I'm telling you, there is a supernatural transformation that God changes our heart if we will choose. Now, this is where we have to let go. We got to let go of the stubbornness and just trust. I know we don't want to, but I don't want to. Let him empower you. Keep your eyes on Jesus and he will empower us. He is our empowerment. But the final thing, we focus on Jesus not just because he's our example, not just because he is our encouragement, not just because he empowers us, but here's the reason why we really focus on Jesus. Because he's the end. He is the finish line. He's where we're going. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we're not going to finish this race. Everything that we go through is meant to keep us from finishing. Every hurt, every trial, the enemy wants to use it to destroy you. When you're running a race and your legs can't move anymore, you know what sometimes you have to do is you just keep your eyes up. Because sometimes I just got to keep looking for it. If you start looking to the side, if you start looking down, pretty soon, that's where you stop. But if you keep your eyes on the goal, you keep your eyes on the goal, the goal starts getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Jesus is our goal. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus because Jesus is where you win. Jesus is where you get the reward. You do not get the reward by getting revenge on that person. You don't get the reward by filling what you didn't get, and so I'm going to get it myself. You see, that does not get you to the reward. You may end up getting what you wanted, but you may forfeit the end of the race. We keep our eyes on Jesus because he is the end. He is our goal. He is where we win, where we become champions, where we overcome this world. The end is not that promotion. That end is not having all the money in the world. The end is not being completely debt-free. The end is not having my own house and my own life. That's not the end. In fact, that'll be the end, all right, of you. Many times in that, and we finally come and we settle and we say, I have conquered. And what all you've done is dug your own grave. Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And the only thing that matters is what have you done with Jesus? He is the very goal of our being. Romans 8 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called him and who love him and who are called according to his purpose. What a great promise. All things work together for good. I want everything to work for my good. How many want that? I want that. But here's the good. It says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. in order that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. You see, here's the good that he's working everything for. He's working everything to your good because the good that he's trying to work in you is that you become like Jesus. And when we become like Jesus, Jesus was just the first one to receive all the glory of God. We will be brought into that same glory if we will keep our eyes, because that's the end result. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. Jesus said this in John 14, right before he was killed. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Keep your eyes on me. Let me be the focus of your life. For in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Listen to this. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You see, that is our goal, to be with Jesus. He's gone to prepare a place for us. But he's saying, until I come again, you got to keep the faith. You got to run the race. You got to live this unfair life. But in the midst of unfairness, you can smile and you can enjoy life, because my goal is still the same. Jesus is coming for me. One of these days, I'm going to be with him, and where he is, I will be forever. This race is not going to be anything compared to that. And so therefore, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And what a great reward it is when we cross that finish line. Don't give up the finish line for the pains of this earth. Don't get focused on those things that you forfeit everything else. And if you will keep your eyes on Jesus, here's the great thing. You will bring some other people with you. It's one thing that I want to be with Jesus, but you know what? I want to bring you with me. I want to be there together with all of us. So therefore, we need to begin to let go of some stuff. Stop focusing on some stuff and begin to endure some stuff so that we can end together with the joy of the Lord. So let's prepare. We're going to face trials. Life is going to be hard, and life is going to be unfair. But we can prepare to face it, and we can still have joy along the way. We can love each other along the way, and there can be blessings along the way if we will do these three things. If we will purge those things that hold us back, don't let them hold you back. And if you learn to endure, we're going to be offended. We're going to be hurt. But get a thicker skin. Who cares? That's not who I am. And that's not who they are. So let it go. Let go of those things. And then let's keep our eyes on Jesus. And let's run the race. Because Jesus himself is there for us. Let's let him be our example. Let's let him encourage us. Let's let him empower us. But more than anything, let's let him bring us home by keeping our eyes on Jesus rather than this world. Let's pray. God, I pray.